I'm Ann Shea, and it's time for you to ask the mayor. Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett is here to answer questions about city issues which concern you. The phone number to call to speak with Mayor Bennett is toll-free 877-285-9348. If you prefer, you may send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Once again, the phone number is 877-285-9348. Email mayor@indiana.edu. Welcome, Mayor Bennett. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Oh, no problem.
Well, obviously, the topic that everybody's talking about, flooding, and I know that Terre Haute was hit hard as well as Vigo County. We're talking a little bit before the show. You said that Terre Haute was hit a little less than Vigo County. Vigo County had about 2,000 residents evacuated. What about Terre Haute?
We had about 150 total, you know, give or take a few. We evacuated some folks out of Robinwood subdivision. We also evacuated some folks out of an apartment complex just south of Poplar on Fruit Ridge. And then we had several people evacuated from the Heritage Trail apartments just on East Locust, all kind of on that east side of town as the water came out of Lost Creek, kind of flowed into that east side of town. And that's where we had our evacuees from.
Okay. Do a lot of these people have flood insurance in these areas?
Well, I would say no. The people I talked to, you know, is when I was out there, they were telling me they didn't. And, you know, it's not flooded like that in many, many years. I was told in 1973. I don't remember that specifically. But, you know, most of the people that I engaged with just basically said that, you know, if their basements or their house got wet, they didn't have any insurance to cover that. So I don't know what percentage to attach to it, but I would say a large percentage probably did not.
What about the north side? Anything happening up there in terms of the flooding?
Well, there was a little bit in a couple of spots. We had, you know, a Lost Creek comes in from the east side, and then it moves up through the north side of Terre Haute. And we had some flooding in some areas, not as bad as out in that Heritage Trail area. But, you know, there was a lot of water everywhere, and a lot of basements got wet in different parts of town. But it was mostly in neighborhoods and blocks of areas versus, you know, widespread like it was in the county.
Now, I know you had some shelters set up. Are people still in those shelters? And if people still need to go and get help, what should they do?
Well, you know, the shelter was set up, you know, on Saturday afternoon up at Terre Haute North High School. And I know that eventually about 2,000 people, as you said earlier, you know, worked their way through there. I have not talked to anybody today to see if there's anybody left. You know, the numbers were obviously coming down over the last couple of days. Most people, a lot of the people who lived in the apartments, like on the east side, some of those folks were didn't have any local family or friends, and so they needed to go to that shelter, where a lot of other people that that we had pulled out had family then, and that's where they went. So it's been kind of a mix, and it just took a couple of days for people to get hooked up with somebody where they could go. So
sure.
It kind of just going through that first couple of days of just kind of a chaotic situation of getting people plugged in somewhere and then to be able to assess the damage on their particular houses. If they're still needing help, you know, today, you know, people are calling our office, they're calling the county commissioners, and they're calling the local emergency management office. And any of those three offices can point them in the right direction, kind of depend on what their specific issue is. So we've just been referring people, you know, over the last few days.
In terms of financial aid from the state and from the federal government, what do you think that Terre Haute needs right now?
You know, we're able to cover our costs, per se, of, you know, overtime and just the use of equipment and fuel and all those kinds of things. And that's what a lot of people talk about, which to us, that's not the big deal. We're trying to help people here. And so, you know, when FEMA has made a declaration that this is a disaster area and local and government will be able to get reimbursed for their activities, now the next step is to find out if they're going to do something for individual persons and small businesses. And there's some discussion going on out there, and, you know, government moves kind of slow at times,
yeah,
and especially when, you know, it just happened a few days ago. But we continue to call the governor's office and FEMA to find out, you know, what do we need to be doing here to keep pushing this forward, because we want people to get as much help as we can possibly get and make sure we leave no stones unturned. you know, I think they've been very responsive so far. We just got to keep pushing and getting what we can.
How do you think the city responded initially to this?
Well, I think we did a great job. I was I got my first call at 7:30. You know, of course, it rained all night. I was kind of up with that because it just kept storming all night. Well, I got up about 7 and started looking at my own situation. We had quite a bit of water in our neighborhood, but nothing like, you know, once I got out of our neighborhood and heard the first fire call down on Fruit Ridge, and I went down there to that apartment complex, and they were evacuating the people out of there, basically getting them away from the building and kind of to the high ground. Then some other calls started coming in, and so our guys were right on that. We called in a second shift, basically. We had plenty of help. We had boats available. Citizens provided some additional boats for us, especially out at the Heritage Trail, because we had about 140 people, okay. 150 people total out there. So it was multiple boat trips and getting them across that, basically a street that had turned into a river. And, you know, I think they did a great job. We had police were, you know, blocking off. Street department was involved. We had the school corporation involved. We had our transit authority involved. Basically just call out as what we needed, and people were very responsive. And really, I think looking back upon it, that we were very responsive and did a great job. And, you know, the county was what was deluged, and, mm-hmm. you know, we were able to handle most of our situation by mid-afternoon, and then we went and assisted the county down in that Spring Hill and 7th area. But really, overall, I thought it went very well.
I'd like to remind our listeners to call in with their questions, toll-free 877-285-9348, or you can email those questions, mayor@indiana.edu. Well, Mayor Bennett, as you begin to evaluate, I know you're still kind of in the midst of everything. What do you think needs to be improved for next time, if there is a next time?
Well, I think that on the response side, I felt really good about that, as we just talked about, but there's engineering's been out the last couple of days, and of course I'm no engineer, but I've been out looking at things too, and you know, I think there's some improvements that can be made to the systems. You know, I don't know what all those will be, but we're going to look at every single piece of this and find out, you know, was there any breakdown of the Thompson Ditch, as an example? Was there any things that we can do back on this east side of town where Lost Creek comes into the city? You know, we got a lot of rain, and that's the problem, is you know, it kind of overwhelmed the system. And so in order to prepare for that kind of a rain again, you know, we just need to ramp it up and take a look at anything and everything that we can do. Out around the Heritage Apartments, you know, the water kind of it ponded out there as it came from the east, and then it kind of got stuck in the corner right there along US 40. We need to make sure that we can get that water underneath 40 through the pipe that exists, and just all those kinds of things. And so we're going to look at every piece of this and all those areas where we had flooding and see what needs to be done to, you know, hopefully alleviate or stop it in the future.
Okay, great. Now, according to a Homeland Security release, about 25 National Guard soldiers were brought in to assist local law enforcement with presence patrols. What was this about? Why was this needed?
Well, and especially down in the south end in that Spring Hill and 7th area, and then all the way down to Allendale, there's been some sporadic looting. You know, that looting started happening on Saturday when we had our first emergency management debriefing about 9 o'clock Saturday night. There was a couple of reports of some looting up in North Terre Haute at Jiffy Mini Mart, and then also down south at a liquor store and a couple of houses. And so we provided some additional police officers to assist the county and the state police with that kind of activity. And so basically over the last few days, we've just been kind of supplementing the security out there and just trying to increase patrols and just be visible in order to discourage that kind of looting activity.
Were there any arrests made for looting or theft?
Yeah, there's been some, and I don't know the particulars on which ones and where. I really didn't get involved in that because it's been the county. But I know they've tracked down some people, and I know just today, this morning, they thought they had a couple of people down on Allendale Hill. I heard that on the radio. So I don't know what the outcome of that was, but they had a couple of people that they felt like were doing burglarizing down there. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that in a bad situation like this, the people come out and try to take advantage of people. But all you can do is just beef up the security and do everything you can to protect the people's possessions. You know, in a lot of cases, they've got them sitting outside, you know, drying out and those kinds of things. And we've got some folks that are just taking advantage of that, and that's, we need to put that to a stop.
Exactly. If anybody has any concerns that they were possibly, you know, their house was broken into or anything like that, what do they need to do? Who do they need to talk to? Obviously the police, but, you know, anything to protect themselves in this kind of situation?
Right. Well, if obviously it's in the county, you need to let the sheriff's department know. And then if it's in the city, you need to let the city police know, of course. And then another outlet is emergency management. And we can, they're kind of the control center is dealing with security issues too. And so that gives us an opportunity as we sit around the table to, when they need extra resources from the city, then we're able to provide some people who are willing to, you know, go out and work an extra shift or that it's their day off to assist with that. So basically just letting us know that it's happening so we can get somebody on it.
Now, I'm assuming that the city of Terre Haute also helped in the efforts in West Terre Haute to kind of shore up, make sandbags to protect West Terre Haute. Is that correct?
Well, we didn't provide city laborer because at the same time that was going on, we had our crises going on. But a lot of volunteers from Terre Haute went over to assist. We didn't send our specific people to do we were mostly doing recovery-type work, you know, and rescuing people during that while the sandbagging was going on Saturday and into Sunday. You know, we spent a lot of our resources in the south end of town and on the east side of town because that's what we, mm-hmm. you know, that's where our crisis points were while they were working on what was going on in West Terre Haute at the same time.
Well, as you well know, that there's some talk that possibly when they did the sandbagging to save West Terre Haute, the small community of Toad Hop was completely engulfed in water. They are now, many of them, just living in parking lots and things like that. Is Terre Haute helping out with that situation at all?
Well, we'll help them out as best we can, you know. As I said, when we have our EMA meetings, which we have another one this afternoon, that will kind of bring everybody up to speed on what's going on and whatever resources the county needs to help with, we've been available to do that. And so, you know, that would apply there just like it has everywhere else. And I don't know of anything, I haven't heard anything today about any specific needs from us. But like I said, we've got a meeting this afternoon, and I'm sure they'll bring that up if there's something that we can do, and we'll be happy to do that.
Unfortunately, more rain is coming our way later this week. How does that stand for Terre Haute and the surrounding communities? Is it going to cause more problems?
Well, it might. That's always the unknown. And, you know, right now the ground is still very wet, as everybody knows, and that water just runs right off the top of it. We've been fortunate to have a couple more dry days here after the Monday night rains, and I'm hoping it doesn't bypasses us because we really need to get totally dried out here. We're still processing a lot of water through the Thompson Ditch, that main thoroughfare to the south. We're still processing a lot of wastewater through our sewage treatment plant. So we still got a lot of water we're dealing with from these past rains, and you know we just really don't need any more rain.
Okay, I'd just like to throw out our phone number once again, 877 toll-free, 877-285-9348, if you would like to call in for a question for Mayor Bennett, or you can email mayor@indiana.edu. I'm going to turn the tables a little bit, Mayor Bennett, and we're going to talk about some other subjects if we can.
Mm-hmm.
In retrospect, do you think it was heavy-handed for you to ask the entire housing board to resign? First off,
no, you know, I don't agree with that term. You know, I'd been working with the board for a few months and we just weren't making much progress. And so I had sent out a letter just kind of listing some things that were concerns of mine and many other people who were calling my office, but just in general issues. And I sent that letter out and I included in there that if giving them an opportunity, if they felt like they wanted to step off the board, it'd be a good time to do that and would give us an opportunity to have a fresh start. Once that letter went out, we had some additional dialogue that started, and then things started, you know, there was some improvement of communications. And then the Tribune Star had run a story a few weeks after that, and, you know, from their perspective, that was the term that they used. And, you know, I disagree with that particular term because I don't do anything heavy-handed. I really want to work with people and just make it happen. And we were just kind of at a little bit of a stalemate there. And since that time, we've been able to improve communications and do some positive things. So I think that'll get turned around. It's just been a tough situation for the staff and the board and everybody else involved with the changeover of a new administrator and working with a new mayor as the board. And we're making some progress. I'm feeling good about the direction we're going.
So are you happy with the recent changes they've made?
I'm sorry?
Are you happy with the recent changes that they've made?
We're working through my list of issues, and they've got a new director hired. I still think there's room for improvement, but that probably applies to, you know, lots of different groups. But communication is better, and I think we're moving in the right direction. I guess that's the bottom line.
Okay, we have a question here from an email.
Okay.
What's happening with the water treatment plant improvements?
Okay, we have we just had a meeting last week with the local people that help us design and do some things, and we laid out some action plans. And I've been talking over the last few weeks about we want to do some immediate type of improvements. And so we got the ball rolling on that last week. We're going to be starting two smaller projects that will alleviate some flow to the plant, outside of the plant. But we're also starting to there's two digesters down there where the initial sewage comes into the plant. And one of the digester projects was just to complete it. It took 18 months to complete that. Now, the other half, the other second digester, we have made the decision to hire an outside contractor to come in and do that so it won't take 18 months to complete that project instead of doing it in-house. And so once we do that, that's going to help a tremendous amount with the initial smell. It won't totally eliminate it. But the next step is to do a headworks project, which is an enclosing of that building where we do where we take the initial sewage in.
Mm-hmm.
That part of the project, we're going to start doing the design work on that this fall, and we intend to start that project sometime next spring. So soon you'll be able to see, you know, we'll be able to share more information, but then next year you'll be able to actually see some very specific building-related things that are going to happen down there. We're removing the big blue ball that's down there. We're putting some things in the fence so you can't see through the fence. We're going to be planting some trees around the plant. So I think over the, and we'll do a lot of that this fall when we can plant trees again, but you'll start to see some improvement down there soon, but then more bigger improvements beginning next spring or early summer as we roll out that particular project.
Trying to make it look nicer. Also from this email, they're saying, when it's all finished, will our town finally shake its reputation for being smelly?
Well, what we're told is we can eliminate the smell to a 99.9% smell elimination, and the only smell you get is an earthy smell, if you will. It won't be the sewage smell.
Okay.
I'd say in about 2 years, at the end of next year or early into 2010, when we complete that headworks project down there, that's my goal, and that's what I'm told that we'll be able to accomplish, and I believe it after going through all this stuff. I didn't know a whole lot about sewage treatment plants until I became
the mayor. You know a lot now, right?
And I know a lot, and I still don't profess to be an expert, but there are ways to deal with this because other communities have done it, and we're using some leading technology to be able to help us eliminate that smell also.
Obviously, that's always been a concern that, you know, is drawing people away from the city, going through on I-70, they smell it. Do you think that this will help out economically?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I travel all over the state, too. I officiated high school sports for years, and people ask me where I'm from, and that's one of the first things they say. And you know, it's not as bad as it used to be. There have been some improvements made over the last years to help make it better, but at times it's still very pungent. And it's sitting in a spot where a lot of people can access that. You know, they're right there where the smell is at. So overall, it'll take time because they still talk about things that are not as bad as it has, you know, been for
sure.
A long time. They still act like it's the worst thing they've ever smelled. And whenever time they come through Terre Haute, when it's just not quite that bad. So it's going to take us time to get over that. But the sooner we eliminate the smell, then the sooner and the time will pass that people will quit talking about it.
It's going to take a long time because, you know, that reputation's from so long ago. But I'm sure it's a step in the right direction.
Exactly.
Okay. Going along those same lines, the rail relocation program, I'd like to have an update on how it's going and what your plans are.
Okay. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had decided through the Metropolitan Planning Organization here that we would start a railroad committee. And we're currently in the process of forming that team, and we hope to have a meeting here in the next couple of weeks. I wanted to do it sooner, but this flooding stuff has kind of put things behind just a little bit. But we'll soon have a meeting. I'll also be going to Washington, D.C. here real soon to meet with Senator Lugar and Congressman Ellsworth both and with our consultants in Washington to help us begin to identify some additional federal funds to do some additional planning, if you will. We've been meeting with the railroads. We've had four different meetings so far with CSX and Indiana Railroad, and just kind of laying out some ideas and some opportunities to do some things that will help us make incremental steps, making the railroads better, making travel better in the city, and working with the railroads to accomplish that. So I would say in the next 30 to 60 days, we ought to be able to share some very specific information once we've had time to convene as a group and we kind of have an idea about what it's going to take to get additional funding for the future. And I think it'll be exciting. I think that, a lot of people would just like for them to move out of town, and that's a very difficult, long and difficult process. So we're trying to do some things as interim steps, building up towards the bigger changes down the road. And I really feel good about the meetings we've had with both the railroads and the people in our community who have a vested interest in this.
Can you, for me, just outline some of the main problem areas within the city? I know of 19th and Margaret, those areas. Are those the ones that you're primarily looking at?
Well, we're looking at everything just initially here. We've tried to lay everything out and say, okay, where are our hot spots? And one of the big hot spots that I get the most calls on, and it's obvious to everybody, is the switching that goes on at 19th and Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get that many complaints about trains passing through town, as long as they keep moving. It's when they switch down there and it completely blocks Margaret Avenue. So that's a trouble area for us. Also with the Graham Grain line that crosses 3rd Street down at 3rd and Voorhees, that's a big bottleneck.
Yeah.
When they move the grain trains, because they move very slowly. That's an area that we're targeting kind of initially here because we think we can do some short-term fixes to that one. And then just looking at the bigger picture about the railroad that passes through ISU's campus and how they merge on the north side of town, and then we've got three tracks that move on up through the north and north-central side of town. And just trying to find ways to make sure that, one, they've done some improvements to the tracks here recently, which allows the trains to go just a little bit faster. They put some new rail in. They've improved the crossings, which is good for our travelers. They haven't completed all the top coats. We've been getting a few calls saying, well, it's still a little bit rough. They haven't come in and put all the top coats on all the crossings yet, so they will smooth those out once they're completed here. But then just looking kind of at the bigger picture and saying, okay, what can we do to, divide the traffic up a little bit, or what can we do to move, change the way the switching is done at 19th and Margaret, and just looking at every piece of this. And this committee, that's what they're going to be looking at, are all those pieces and trying to identify what's best for our community, what can we afford, what can we plan for the future, and then begin to roll this out as quickly as we can. So, there's a lot of different issues with the railroads, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I know that one of the big pushes is obviously economic development with this as well. This is one of the things that you're pushing through. If you do have these railroads refinished or somehow moved or that kind of thing, it is going to help with the economy of the community.
Right. And what we're told is railroad business is picking up about 20% a year. That's their forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And so Indiana Railroad is increasing their business here in Terre Haute all the time. They've got a lot of local customers. They're doing a lot of switching. CSX is moving a lot of cars through Terre Haute with their Chicago to Jacksonville run. And, we're going to see more and more trains. And, it's cheaper to ship by rail than it is by truck. And with fuel prices the way they are. So, having railroads here is a good thing. We've just got to make sure that we work with them to not, make the city a bottleneck of being railroaded, constantly. I mean, they've been here for a long time, but these days the traffic's actually picking up. So we want to address this thing head on.
Okay, great. One of the things that a lot of people probably are looking forward to after they get through all of this flooding and rain, we can dig ourselves out of this, are festivals and that kind of thing that come up during the summer. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the proposal to allow alcohol to be sold in Fairbanks Park and where that stands right now.
Well, that was approved by the city council. I was in opposition to that because I just felt like we've got plenty of other places to do that, and I really just didn't support doing it at the park for a lot of different reasons. But, that was approved, and the park board had agreed that they wouldn't do it for this year's Art and Music Fest that we recently had, over the Memorial Day weekend. What the next step will be that if somebody wants to have a festival at the park where they have alcohol, they will go to and petition the park board and request that, and that'll be our first one whenever that happens. Right now, I have not heard or know of any particular festival that's going to be doing that this year. It'll either be a festival that would move down to the park or a new festival that would start. So I'm not sure if we'll have one this year or not, but the process is in place, and people can, fill out an application to do that and go through the process to get a permit to have that kind of an activity down there. And if that happens, then you can be assured that we'll be down there to make sure that everything goes well as the city administration, and we want to make sure that everything that goes on in our parks is done in a professional and safe way.
Can you kind of outline some of the reasons why you were against this and why the council went ahead and voted it through?
Well, I think one of the things for me is, it was kind of ironic that Thursday night when we had that vote, the next Saturday, 2 days later, I was asked to be a speaker about the effects of alcohol on the youth in our community and how we're the 11th worst county in Indiana, the 92 counties, with underage drinking and young adult binge drinking. And, it kind of put me in a bad spot, not only on that one, but I've had other opportunities to speak where people want, in the community, they want to reduce the amount of drinking. And I have no problem with people drinking and all that as long as they, do it right. But this was a particular case where I just didn't feel like having it in a city park was the right approach to that. That was my personal view, and I shared that with the council, and they decided to do what they were going to do and moved on. And I just like anything else, once it's a done deal, it's a done deal, and I want to make sure then now that we enforce it properly and we handle it properly from the side of from the executive side here that we're a part of, to make sure that we deal with it correctly. So, just, there's plenty of opportunities to do that elsewhere, and I just didn't feel like a city park was where I wanted to support moving that kind of activity to.
What are the plans to enforce it and to make sure that people are safe? Anything in concrete right now?
Well, just like any other festival that we do, we'll make sure there's plenty of security down there, and those areas will be enclosed wherever they would have that festival. So if they had alcohol, it would be an enclosed area. And we'll just be there to make sure that, people are safe around that environment. If there's any activity outside of the fenced area, and just have a good police presence like we do with the festival we just had. And just be there and keep the place cleaned up, each day or each evening, I should say. And really just make sure that it's any effects of that are minimized and we keep it all, professional and clean and safe.
Okay, any last thoughts, and going back to the flooding, any last thoughts for the people in your community about what they need to do as more water and rain heads our way?
Well, I think just using good common sense, and I really saw a lot of that on Saturday. People were, voluntarily leaving their homes. There was a few people that didn't want to leave, but, there's safety issues involved. When you've got water coming into your basement, you've got electricity and gas service, it's just not safe to stay there. And so, if you can get out when you know it's coming, that's the best thing to do. Otherwise, you need to ride it out until we can come and rescue if this kind of a situation happens again. Hopefully, we won't get any additional heavy rain and it won't be an issue and we can continue to dry out and help people get cleaned up. A lot of times people are, they want to know what the city's going to do. Well, it's difficult for us. We can't go into people's houses and help them clean up their individual houses, but we can sure be there to support them and help them make sure we get the trash removed and definitely look at the things that we do have control over and fix those things so we minimize it in the future.
Okay.
It's just been very unfortunate and been just an unbelievable amount of water.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. We've run out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Mayor Duke Bennett from Terre Haute. This has been Ask the Mayor. I'm Ann Shea. Join us again next week with Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan. Production support for Ask the Mayor comes from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate. For producer Adam Ragusea and engineer John Shelton, I'm Ann Shea. Thanks for listening.